as well. You guys here willing to come down? Like, oh, we didn't know we were coming down. Yeah, there we are. Okay, come on down. Let's see, where did the thing go? There it is. So you guys, you went through the class several months ago, and we're finally getting to this part of it. So this week and next week, we'll have some of our new members come down. So Trevor and Jody Couples, so glad to have you guys already involved in church and making things happen from the U.S., right, as well. And then Milena as well, already involved making things happen, the kids wrestling them in the nursery, helping out with students and music, and so all kinds of good things happening. We really appreciate you guys saying we want to be a part of DBICC, and truly you already are. And so thank you so much. And let's pray over them. Can we do that now? Father, we thank you for Trevor, for Jody, for Milena. God, we thank you for their heart for you. And thank you for that desire and commitment to be a part of DBICC officially. So Lord, we just ask for your anointing over them. We ask for your protection as they've said, hey, we want to be a part of this body. We want to commit to this body and be accountable to and be part of holding accountable this body for what you're doing in DB. And so Father, we just ask that you would bless them, pray that you would cover them, protect them. Help us to be the family to them, the spiritual family that they need. And I pray that you'll give them the strength to be the part of the body you've equipped and prepared them to be. So Father, we just ask for your favor over this relationship as we welcome them to the family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Can we welcome these guys to DBICC? Thank you so much. Yeah. I have a little video for us. Here we go.
Neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
All right, so here's a question. How many of you, that's the first time you've ever seen that video? Raise your hand. Oh, we are in an international world. Okay. All right. So this, in case you didn't know, this is Mr. Rogers. Okay. And in the U.S., at least, like, everybody knows this guy, right? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. There's a movie coming out where Tom Hanks plays this guy. And so this idea of, will you be my neighbor? But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a short series on being a neighbor. Instead of will you be my neighbor, what does it mean to be a neighbor? And so the first question I want to start with at this point is just to ask, does anyone here have a neighbor? Do you have neighbors? Anybody? Okay. It's DB, right? You have lots of neighbors. You have neighbors in places you don't want neighbors, right? So here's the next question. Do any of you have neighbors that you might call bad neighbors? Raise your hand. Some bad neighbors? Anybody have a Wow. Okay, we have some honesty. People are like, yeah, I'm not sure. They may see me. Yeah, so we have some bad neighbors. All right, anybody have some good neighbors? You have some really good neighbors? Okay. Oh, look at this. Okay. I'm not sure that's... Okay, good. All right, so here's the big question, though. If we were to ask your neighbors what kind of neighbor you are, what would they say? Here's the acid test for that one. Have they come and knocked on your door and complained? So the people who used to live under us, we have five people in our family, right? They have moved to a new location. So we may be bad neighbors. I don't know. No, maybe they were just finding a better spot. I think that's what it was. No, but we have five people in our family, right? And three young ones. And so we're always making noise and so on. But the real culprit is me, because I like power tools. And apparently power tools during nap time aren't a good mix. And so we got the old knock on the door one time. And anyway, but I got the guy's phone number, and then we're able to interact. And next thing you know, we're friends, right? So bad things can lead to good things. But here's what I think about us being in DB, where we have neighbors above us, below us, beside us, across. I mean, if I wanted to walk out my front door at the same time our next door neighbor, who the guy's name is Danny, by the way, if he wants to walk out at the same time, it's not possible, right? We have to walk through the same square, foot, meter, whatever you want to call it, to get out. I mean, these people are right next to us, or they're right above us or right below us. And how is it going? How is it? In the communique that was sent out, I asked that question. You know, are we making a difference being in our buildings, living in these neighborhoods where we have these people around us? I hope we are. I hope we're making a difference like God wants us to. But sometimes it doesn't go well, right? And you have a little verbal tussle with someone. You have, they come up and complain, and then you're upset, and so then it doesn't go very well. Anybody ever had a verbal tussle with a neighbor? Okay, are you still with me? Okay, we got some hands being raised. You've had those little tussles. How many of you enjoy a verbal tussle, by the way? Any of you? Come on, there's some of you that like this stuff. Anyway, some of us are really terrible at this, and some of us enjoy it. I don't, by the way. I'm not good at it. I think of what I should have said like the next week. But verbal tussles happen sometimes when you get in these close environments, and we do it as a family, but then we begin to do it with people that live close to us as well. And man, you get into those moments, and you think, okay, I should have said this. And sometimes people are good at it, and they say things you're not ready for. And so this morning, as we look at our passage about being a neighbor, this actually comes out of a verbal tussle. And so if you turn to Luke chapter 10, I hope that everybody will be able to put their eyes on the scriptures this morning. Luke chapter 10. So pull out your phone, the app. Maybe there's a copy, a hard copy you have. We have some in the top corner as well if you don't have one available. If you can get access, you can Google Luke chapter 10, and there'll be a place, a website that'll be available. But would love for you to be able to see Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. And whenever we look at this passage, it's called the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. And this, what's amazing is this amazing story, this incredible story, comes out of a verbal tussle. So there's this little back and forth going on, and then boom, there's this amazing surprise, the story of the Good Samaritan that comes out. And so we like surprises. We like these good things that happen, but you wouldn't have expected it in this place. Reminds me of a couple I read about who in 2014, they're out walking their dog, and they're out on kind of the back corner of their property, and they see something that looks different, so they begin to dig, and next thing you know, they dig up this. You see what's in there? There's some coins, right? So apparently back in the 1840s, someone had buried over 1,000 gold coins in pots on the back of their property. And when they bought the place, they didn't know it was back there, obviously. And so what was just a normal walking the dog moment became this, wow, look at all these gold coins, $10 million worth of coins in their backyard. That's a good surprise, right? So it was just a normal day, and then all of a sudden, wow. So that's what's happening here in Luke chapter 10. There's just this conversation. It looks kind of like another one of those weird, awkward kind of okay days. And then, boom, there's this better than $10 million worth of a story that comes out. And so we look at Luke chapter 10, and we see this verbal tussle going on. So usually, we take the view of the Samaritan. Or we might take the view of the innkeeper or maybe the someone else in the story that we look at. But maybe the guy that's getting beat up or the guy that gets beat up or I don't know. But usually we don't talk about the lawyer. But this morning we're going to look at this from the perspective of the lawyer, because that's actually who's in the conversation with Jesus. So in chapter 10, verse 25, we begin. And it says this, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay, so we're just going to walk through the big pieces of the story quickly. So first, in verse 25, the lawyer is asking Jesus a question. He's challenging him. And so it looks like, oh, it's another one of these days. Because people were always trying to give Jesus a hard time. They're always trying to trip him up. And so it looks like just another day of Jesus getting attacked or someone trying to trick or trip up Jesus. And so the lawyer asks Jesus a question, right? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? So there's the question. What does Jesus say in verse 26? And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" How did Jesus answer the question? With a question. So, this is good. This is lawyer type stuff, right? He knew what to say. By the way, so verbal tussles, right? We talked about having these verbal little encounters with people. I'm not good at it, by the way. So if you have one with me, you'll probably win. But I'll think about it, and I'll have a good answer a week later, right? But have any of you ever had a verbal tussle with God? Raise your hand. How does that usually go? I've done it before. It doesn't go well, okay? And that's what this guy's doing. He's having a verbal, okay, you want to fight? This is God, okay? His name is Jesus, but he's God, okay? So just know you're not going to win. So sure enough, he asks a question, and then Jesus answers him with a question, which is fantastic. It's a great move. Do it with your kids. It works, right? Okay, so verse 27. He asks him the question, and then the lawyer answers. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, here's what's amazing about the lawyer's answer. So the lawyer answers his own question, okay? Jesus gave him the chance, and so that's the nice thing. He just gave him a chance to answer his own question and show what he knew, which is what he wanted anyway. So that's the beauty. Jesus gave him a chance to say, "Well, what do you think about it?" And here's what's also fun. The way he puts this together shows he's been listening to Jesus. And so he gives Jesus the answer that Jesus has been teaching. And so he gives the answer back to Jesus, and Jesus is like, "That's a really good answer," okay? And so verse 28, Jesus says back to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." All done. So the lawyer tries to trick Jesus. Jesus says, "Okay, what do you think?" He says, "I think this." Jesus says, "Good job. All done." And the lawyer's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's not how this was supposed to go. I wasn't supposed to fall for that." He's like, "Oh, man." So now what's going to happen? Verse 29. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, again, we can see that Jesus has already solved the encounter. Jesus has already won the encounter, okay? But then the guy's like, oh, to justify himself, he's like, okay, hang on, let me see if I can get one more shot. And it's kind of like he was in the encounter, and it didn't go like he thought. And so now he's kind of falling back, and he's trying to make one more shot. And so this guy, in this encounter with Jesus, is taking one last desperate attempt, and he does something you're not supposed to do. He asks Jesus this question, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I've been around a few. And I've heard sometimes that they give this advice: never, never, ever ask a question that you don't already know the answer to. So if you know the answer to it and you can get that out of them, you can help build your story in this encounter. But if you don't know the answer, don't ask it, because they may take it a place that you can't recover from. And that's what this guy just did. I love it. So Jesus is better. So this lawyer, he knows what he's doing, but Jesus is like, "Nope, I got you," right? So he says, "Who is my neighbor?" And that's where we get the story, where Jesus says, "Okay, I hear your question, but I'm going to give you a different answer." The question was, who is my neighbor? Again, this guy's trying to justify himself. And so he thinks, if he can just have this list of, "Here are the people that are my neighbors, I'm loving them, I'm all good." He says, "Who is my neighbor?" Gives Jesus an open door here, and Jesus doesn't answer the question directly. He gives him something else, and he tells him what a neighbor is like. Jesus describes what it means to be a neighbor, which to Jesus is the more important thing. What does it mean to be a neighbor? And so then Jesus walks through the story. We'll come back to the story in just a minute, but in verse 30 through 35, Jesus walks through the story, this guy who falls among thieves, thrown to the side of the road, half dead. First guy comes by and says, oh, can't do it. Second guy comes by, oh, can't do it. The third guy, who nobody likes, comes by and helps the man, takes him to the inn, gets him fixed up, gives him money, goes away, says, I'll come back and pay later. Jesus says, now, at the end of the story, he comes back to the lawyer again in verse 36. And he says to the lawyer, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? So now Jesus is asking him another question. Who was a neighbor? And the guy answers, he said, the one who showed him mercy. He wouldn't even say the Samaritan. The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says to him, you go and do likewise. So here's what's happening. This lawyer is trying to have this encounter, and then there's a surprise of an amazing story about what it means to be a neighbor that comes out of this verbal tussle. And so I just want us to make sure we understand what's happening in general in the conversation before we get lost in all the nuances and riches, really, of the story of the Good Samaritan. There's this guy who's trying to justify himself and trick Jesus, and so he's trying to go down this road, and Jesus takes him a whole different way. So what does it mean to be a neighbor? Well, before we get to answering that question, I want to give a short answer. And it comes from scriptures, but there's echoes in culture as well. There's a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk who wrote a book called Crush It. And it's a really cool book if you're into like social media and all these different things. This guy is really good. So he wrote this book called Crush It. And he has a chapter in this book about marketing. Okay, so this guy, he's done a great job, you know, millions of dollars he's done. He said, okay, let me tell you about marketing. It says the best marketing strategy ever. Okay, so there's a chapter that says the best marketing strategy ever, and on the page is a single word, and that's the whole chapter. You know what the single word is? Care. If you just care, people will think, okay, I can trust this guy. Let's do business together. And this guy is not a believer, right? He knows, look, if you want to get your name out there, if you want things to go better, you have to care about people. Theodore Roosevelt says it this way. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. You have to care. And so this morning we're going to look at being a neighbor. And in this passage we have these four things that we see happen so that we can care. To be a neighbor, we have to just care. Just care. So here are these four things quickly we'll walk through. The C, let's just get to it. So verse 33, let's go back to the scriptures here. This isn't just some guy who wrote a book about marketing. This is scripture here. So let's come back here. So Jesus is telling the story in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So you've heard stories, you've heard sermons, you've heard talks about the Good Samaritan. So you know what's happening here. But this priest, what's the priest's job? What's his job? To help people connect with God, right? That's his job. If someone wants to connect with God, they go to the priest, and the priest then will pass forward the offering or the prayers or whatever. The priest is that middle person for people to connect with God. Happens through the priest. So the priest comes by this guy who's in the ditch on the side of the road, and he's like, oh, I see that. It says he looked at him, but then he passed by on the other side. And so he says, look, I see your situation. I'm in a hurry. I got to go help other people connect with God. And so the priest skips this guy, okay? Very challenging, very convicting for me to say, okay, who am I walking past? So likewise, verse 32, a Levite, when he had come to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Well, who's the Levite? Well, the Levite's the worker. The Levite's the one getting all the stuff done, getting all set up. The priests do their thing. The Levites, they do everything else. Everything's going to be all situated. And some of you are like that. You know, so we had these three a minute ago, and they're already involved. They're already workers in the church. And some of you, like, you're busy, like, in your normal life, and you have five ministries that you're helping with at DBICC. And so you're like these Levites, right? And so this guy's walking along. He's like, oh, I see he's in trouble. But I've got to volunteer at four different things at church later on today. I'm sorry, I need to go help them. And he goes on. And he passes by this person who's in trouble, who's half dead. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, here it is, he had, what's the word? Compassion. So this is the C for us. If we're going to care for people, if we're going to be neighbors, we have to have compassion. Our hearts have to break. We have to be able to see people where they are. Have a little bit of a moment thinking, okay, if I was in that spot, what would I want or need? So it has to start with compassion. So he sees the guy and he has compassion. Verse 34, and then it says, he went to him. He went to him. And so the second thing here is to allow interruption. We have to have compassion and we need to allow interruption. So the Samaritan, he's going along his way. He's got his stuff going on. And all of a sudden he sees this guy. And instead of being like the others who said, okay, I got to keep going on my path, he does something strange and he breaks from his own path and he goes to this guy who's in need. He allows himself to be interrupted. And this is hard to do, right? Whenever we have so many things going and we're just running. To be interrupted is a huge nuisance. Or it can really mess us up on some things that we have planned, things that we have in motion. And so to be interrupted, man, that's difficult for us. But this guy, as a neighbor, allowed himself to be interrupted. He stopped what he was doing and he engaged with this person who was in trouble. So he turns and he went to him, and here's where it gets really exciting, and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here's the next thing. If we're going to care for people and be neighbors, we have to relate. Okay, so it's not just, I see what you're doing. Let me come over here and talk with you for a minute and say, man, I'm so sorry this is happening. I'll pray for you. Good luck. I hope things go well. We'll be here if you need us. Pray, you know, we're praying for you. I hope it goes well. No, this guy gets down on the ground with the guy, right? And now he's like, okay, let's look at where you're wounded and let's fix that. And let's lift you up and let's get you something to drink. And so the guy is sweaty and bloody, and now the Samaritan is also sweaty and bloody with that guy's junk on him. Relate. It's so easy for us to help people from afar. That's one of the nice things, right, about giving. We'll support you. We're going to give you some money. You go and do that stuff. But at some point, we have to touch. We have to get down and dirty with the people. The people in our lives, you see this. You see people, man, I don't know what to do. I need someone to help me. So someone comes in. I loved it a second ago. What a beautiful picture. You know, of a mom who's trying to juggle the phone and the daughter and the microphone, right? And it's going. And finally, she just needs someone, just one piece of it. And so how can we do that? How can we relate, engage with, connect with people where they actually need it? So he goes to the inn and he takes care of him. Now, this is where it gets a little weird for us, right? And we think that, oh, these days that would never be okay to go to the inn with somebody and stay with them and take care of them. And we think that this is different than it used to be. Like, you know what? All through history, that would have been weird, okay? This guy's a stranger, and yet he's like bandaging his wounds, and he's putting him on his own horse, donkey, and taking him to the inn and staying with him. That's crazy, right? But it's what the man needed. And so to be a neighbor, he related, he connected. And not only did he go stay with him, take care of him. But then in verse 35, it says, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. And so the last one is to empower next steps. Again, he didn't just take him to the inn and say, hey, here's this guy I found on the side of the road. I hope, maybe you can help him. I got to go. He stays with him. You see, there were 2 guys that didn't make it home that night. The guy that was beat up and the Samaritan. And they didn't have mobile phones. So, you know, both families were like, we don't know what happened. Something happened. And so he put all these other things on hold and said, I'm going to help this guy. I'm really going to get in there. And then he paid for it, and he left money for the future. And then he said, I'll come back and pay more. He empowered next steps. This guy needed more time to heal. He needed more time to recuperate before he could get back on the road again, and this guy made that possible. He said, I will invest. I'm going to empower so that this guy can move forward. And so this idea of giving our stuff, letting you use my donkey, using my money to help a stranger, like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not sure if that's the right move to make. Whenever we see a picture like this, it's kind of quaint. We tell the kids about, yeah, be a neighbor, help people who are in need. But this is extreme, guys, isn't it? And isn't it why it scares us a little bit whenever the preacher's like, okay, we're going to be neighbors to that level. It's like, ooh, I don't know. That's pretty intense neighboring. That's pretty involved, pretty raw to go to that level. And there's a number of reasons that we don't want to do it. And we don't have time to go through all of those. But here's what I want to zoom back out to. I want to zoom back out to what's happening in the story. Okay? Jesus is talking with whom? A lawyer. Okay? What was the original question? Do you remember? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, you tell me. He says, well, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors yourself. Jesus says, you got it. If you do that, parentheses, which you can't, you will live, Jesus says. But Jesus didn't tell him, if you do that, you can't, you'll live. He just said, if you do that, you will live. He still has this idea that he's okay. So here's the crazy thing. This lawyer in this moment thinks he's done number one. He thinks, you know what? I do love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. I got that one done. Tick, check. I've got that. But let me clarify about that second one about being a neighbor. Let me clarify to make sure that I've got that one covered too, because I think I'm in pretty good shape on this deal. So he says, who's my neighbor? And I think it says, so he can justify himself, I think I've got this. And then Jesus gives him this story. And the guy walks away with his head down because he's like, that's too much. That's too much. And Jesus is thinking, that's the easy part. That's the easy part. Loving a neighbor, being a neighbor like this is the easy part. You have no idea how hard this is. In fact, it's impossible. So whenever you look at this story, okay? Now so my notes are crazy because what I was planning to say and what God's revealing to me don't match. Okay? God's teaching me as I'm trying to teach you. By the way, that's what teachers get. Did you know that? The best way to learn is to try to teach. This guy goes in and he says, look, I think I got this nailed. And that's what we say so many times. And in fact, here's my goal in this nice C-A-R-E outline. You know what my goal was? Let's make this reachable for these people. Let's make this where they can do this. Let's go out into DB and we can do that. We can care for people. We can be like the Good Samaritan. Yeah. But that's not what the scripture's saying. If we look at the scriptures, Jesus is making it obvious you can't do either one. It's impossible. So great news for you right now. If you feel like being a Good Samaritan to this level is too much for you, you are correct. In your own strength, in your own power, you cannot. You cannot. You can have a good day, yes. But to be this kind of person all the time, it's too high a bar. Okay. Where does that leave us then? The preacher told us, you can't be a Good Samaritan, have a good day. That was good church right there, right? Never been told you can't be the Good Samaritan, you just let it go. So where does this take us? Well, here's the great news. Jesus did it. Jesus did this. If you look at the story closely, it's a description of what Jesus has done. We were the ones who the enemy came and beat to within an inch of our lives. He took away everything from us. We're the ones, as she said in the video, we're the ones that have been deceived, seduced. That's us. And we're left on the side to die. And religion and all these other good things around us don't have the answer. They just keep on walking by. They can't rescue us. But there was a person who was a mixed breed, an outcast, who came one day. His name is Jesus. And he looked at us and our situation, and his heart broke. He had compassion. And he came, and he got our junk on him. He got our mess on him. But he took us to a new place. He took us to a place of healing. And he said, I'm going to give this now, and I'm coming. I'm coming back, and I'll finish at that point. Do you see this? That's the real story. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. We're the ones who were beat up. But here's the beautiful thing. In the story, we get to join. You see, our call is to be Jesus followers, right? Christians, NDB. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And so now we're supposed to take this on. So now you're back in. Now you got to be a Good Samaritan. But I thought you said we couldn't do this. I thought you said it was impossible for us to do. And I'm not lying. But remember, Jesus gave a deposit to the innkeeper, didn't he? He gave a deposit and he said, hey, this will cover it for a while. I'll come later and make everything right. But I'm giving you a deposit right now to cover what's needed for this time. And he has given us a deposit. You know what the deposit's name is? The Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and so we can be neighbors like Jesus. In our own strength, we cannot. But when the Holy Spirit is leading us, whenever he is the power walking in our shoes with us every day, showing us, revealing to us, breaking our hearts, empowering us, directing us, then we can be the neighbor that we're supposed to be in Discovery Bay. And so will you be a neighbor? Will you embrace what it means to, okay, I know there's needs around me, and in my own strength, I don't have what it takes, but God, you have said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things come out from him through us. Do you know what Discovery Bay needs, my friend? Do you know what your neighbor above you and below you and on either side, do you know what they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And we have that gift. We have what they need. And if we will allow the Spirit to work through us, Discovery Bay will get what it needs. Now, yes, there may be a conversation or two or 25 that you start with. There may be loaning some eggs or some sugar. There may be watching the kids or watching for the delivery or whatever that thing may be where you begin this relationship. But the point is to help them have Jesus, because he is the ultimate healer. He's the one that fixes the problems. So can we be good neighbors? We can, but we need lots of help. And it's available for us. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Some of you this morning have not yet received the gift of being saved like this guy on the side of the road. Jesus has come and he's offered forgiveness. He's offered new life, and yet you haven't received the gift yet. And so today, maybe it's for you to say, okay, you know what? I can't get out of this. There's no other way for me to fix this problem. Jesus, I need your help. And so if you want people to pray with you, we'll have people afterward down here on your right that would be happy to pray with you or talk with you more about that. You can also tick the box on the Connect card and drop it in the orange bucket, and we can contact you that way. You can tell another friend, a Christian friend, hey, I want to know more about receiving the forgiveness, the life, the healing that Jesus offers. So that's, if that's you today, don't put this off. Don't say, I'll do it next week. Today, receive the gift. But if you've already received the gift and the Holy Spirit's working on your heart today, I just want to ask this question. Who do you know that needs a neighbor today? Who do you know that's in the ditch on the side and people are just walking by saying, hey, hope it goes well, good luck. Who do you know? Who's the Holy Spirit bringing to mind today that you need to be a neighbor to? Not in your own strength. And you'll just pray, Lord, I can't do this, but will you help me? And then as we go and as we love, as we share life, as we relate, allow interruptions, as we have compassion, as we empower what's next with our own blessings given to them, I believe God will work miracles in our lives and in our city. Father, we just come to you this morning, and as we stop for a minute and think about where you've placed us, it's amazing. It's amazing the amount of impact, the amount of influence we can have. So I pray that you will help us open our eyes to see and touch our hearts so that we have compassion. Help us to allow ourselves to be interrupted. Help us to relate to people where they are and then to be willing to invest to empower their future. Lord, we want to care the way you care. May we be little Christ's Christians in the places where you've put us. Thank you that you have rescued us. Help us to be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together? We're going to continue to worship. Again, if you would like to have prayer after the service, we'll have a team over here. Happy to meet you.